Hello and welcome to the first Hello Rookie CFL video ever. For those of you not familiar with me, my name is Chris. I'm one half of the team at Hello Rookie. Joe is working on a project for the website right now. So if you only watch our videos to stare at Joe's beautiful face, then probably move along from this one. I have covered the CFL for, this is going to be my third season. So basically since DraftKings launched it, 2 years ago. So I'm somewhat familiar with the rules and the players and the way that these seasons tend to play out. There's going to be a ton of value in the early weeks for those of you that haven't played in past seasons. It's not like a fault of DraftKings necessarily. There's just not a ton of information out there. You have to do some real digging to, you know, find these teams' depth charts and you know, find out what players are going to play what roles in the systems. And I mean, to be honest, I spent most of last week just trying to get caught up with some of the roster changes. It seems like half the players in the league just kind of get thrown into a hat and then drawn out on random and put on teams. If I'm being honest, some of the biggest names, you know, in the league move during the off season and you don't find out about it if you're not a CFL fan until, you know, you really start to do some digging. So I've been pouring through Saskatchewan newspapers for the past week or so trying to figure out depth charts and player values and things like that. So DraftKings officially posted the contests in the CFL lobby, made player salaries available. I guess it was late last night, and we have our picks ready. So I want to go over them really quickly. For those of you not familiar with the CFL, I do a really quick rundown of some of the differences in the article. Essentially, the field's longer. You got 10 guys per side. The receivers can run towards the line of scrimmage. The ball is a little bit different. You get a point if a kick or a punt lands, or a field goal lands in the end zone, which is really strange. But for the most part, it's going to look like the same game. The biggest fantasy-wise, what I think is the biggest difference maker is you only have three downs to get a first down. So the passing game, it's an extremely pass-heavy league. If you look at some of the stats from last season, the leading teams in total had around 15 rushing touchdowns per team. So not a ton of production from the running back position, which is certainly very different from traditional fantasy football. And you see, kind of see that reflected in the way that they do these DraftKings lineups. There's only one running back spot and then two flex spots. So, I mean, just in general, you know, with one running back and two flex and two receiver, it's a smaller roster. So, all right. So anyways, I just kind of want to go over my player pool for week one. I've got a couple of sleepers that we can mention, but for the most part, I've found building these lineups, in my account, we're working in the Hello Rookie account here. So we basically just create and enter free contests, which, we'll talk about at the end. This contest is actually in the lobby right now. It's a free one called Hello Rookie that you can go and join and play against my lineup that we'll build at the end of the podcast here. So anyways, back to my lineups. I haven't found any, you know, I've been able to do pretty much what I want with my lineups in terms of putting them together. I haven't felt like the pricing, I feel like it's going to be a very high scoring week. I'll just say that you can pretty much get who you want into your lineups. Particularly if you play a little value at the running back position, which I don't think necessarily is something that you have to do, but it's something you can do. And then you can pretty much play you can literally take our top plays at each position and start them and be fine. So, all right, so let's talk about that a little bit. At quarterback, I have two guys in the article. Mike Riley, again, low-hanging fruit. It's kind of like, as I said in the article, it's kind of like, you know, saying, hey, start Pat Mahomes. You know, he's the, you know, Mike Riley is the dude in the CFL. He played for Edmonton last season, moved to BC this year, and he's facing a Winnipeg team that had the arguably the best pass defense in the CFL last season, which is a reason I don't think he'll be too heavily owned. That and the fact that he's the highest priced player for the slate. I think those two factors combined, I don't think his ownership's going to be up, but I really do like him this week. I think Winnipeg's defense is taking a step back this offseason. And if we look at, I'm going to bounce between the CF, really the CFL website is about what you have in terms of, information out there. Like I'll talk about, you know, different Twitter handles and different local newspapers, which are really great, but it's a lot of work. If you're just looking for some basic information, CFL is pretty good with stats and depth charts and things like that. Depth charts aren't out yet, I will say that, but they're pretty good with stats. Okay, so if we look at, actually what I want to look at right now is Winnipeg. So Winnipeg's played Saskatchewan in the preseason, and Saskatchewan is a team that I think is going to be very poor this season in terms of on offense, at least. I'm not a big Zach Kolaros fan. I don't think he's going to have a great year for them. But when we look at this box score, and even when I went through the play-by-play of the game, because I haven't got a chance to watch if it's even available anywhere. I haven't got a chance to watch the game. But Zach had a really solid, I mean, this is one half, 10 of 15, 163 yards, two touchdowns. I mean, that's as good of a game as he's had in really 5 years in the CFL. So I know not all the stars are out there for Winnipeg, but I do think the secondary took a step backwards this season. So it's not a defense that I'm fading by any means right now. So I do like Mike Riley, and I do think that he'll have something to prove in his first game with BC, obviously. And then the second quarterback that I'm really high on is Trevor Harris, who moved from the last I knew he was on Ottawa. But yeah, he moved from Ottawa to Edmonton this offseason. And he is the new quarterback for arguably the best offense in the CFL. A ton of receivers around him. And Montreal is flat out the best QB matchup in the CFL, in my opinion. So he's got kind of a dream matchup. Again, first game in a new on a new team. He's going to want to look good. The coaching staff is going to want him to look good. And I think arguably, like, if you've followed Edmonton, or I mean, sorry, not Edmonton, but the CFL over the past few years, this group of receivers that they have is absolutely loaded between Ellingson and Daniels and Collins and Stafford and Smith, we'll get to later. You know, that's a group of five right there. And I mean, and I don't know. I'm assuming it's Aji. It actually looked pretty good this preseason as well. So, you know, a deep group of receivers around him. CJ Gable, solid running back, but really a really good pass catching running back. If we look at some of his production, I'm thinking back, I guess, what was he at Hamilton before, where he's a really active pass catcher, but capable pass catching running back. No one in the CFL is going to run in a ton, so you're going to have them throwing a lot against a bad secondary with a ton of good receivers, and Trevor Harris is a very capable receiver. He put up some huge numbers for Ottawa 2-3 years ago when Chris Williams was there. So very capable quarterback, proven CFL quarterback. I think he's going to have a big week one. Love the matchup, love the group of weapons, and I think there's a couple of receivers we can target if you do want to stack in week one here. So all right, so that's really it for me. If you're looking at a punt play, you know, I don't think you can play Pipkin, you know, week one. Zach Kolaros, I already said I don't love him. That being said, you know, basically there's two ways that you can look at that game that he had with Winnipeg. Either he's back and he's that legitimate and he's, you know, going to have a huge year in a somewhat favorable matchup against Hamilton, who, if we pull up, here's team passing stats right here. Hamilton gave up a 27-14 QBINT ratio, 250 passing yards per game, you know, slightly above averages numbers, not like Montreal, who we just talked about with Trevor Harris, who gave up 305 yards with a 29-19 passer rating, 68.3% completion percentage. So obviously Montreal is the cream of the crop matchup, but Hamilton is not a not a rough matchup by any means, with a 2-1 TDINT ratio there and 250 yards per game. So not a terrible matchup. I do think Hamilton is going to score a ton of points on Saskatchewan. Saskatchewan's defense was solid last year, but Masoli is a machine right now. So yeah, I think he'll have to throw a decent amount. You know, Dominic Davis kind of won the Ottawa job by default. I don't want any shares of the Ottawa passing game, to be honest, against Calgary. Matt Nichols is kind of a game, more of a, your CFL game, your CFL Trent Dilfer, right? Like, he just manages the game, run heavy offense. We already talked about Harris, but Levi Mitchell. Obviously, Calgary won the title in the CFL last year, whatever they call it up there. And, you know, to be honest, all three of these guys are decent plays. They're kind of 20, 25 point. I think Riley has the higher upside of the group, but, you know, all three of them are fine plays between Masoli, Mitchell, and Riley. Okay, so let's move on to running back. To me, there's really there's three approaches to the running back position. If you're going to pay up, I'm fine with either of these guys. I think Powell has 150 yard rushing upside for Saskatchewan. If they try and play keep away from that Hamilton offense, he's a guy that flashed, you know, he's, you know, as far as running for 100 yards a game, you know, he's right there in these two games. He hit it, you know, 4 out of 5 right here. So he was running the ball really well down the stretch. It's something that they want to carry forward into this season. But Harris is, you know, he's the best running back in the CFL. And in terms of matchups, BC, I think, is the best running back matchup in the CFL heading into this season. So, you know, if those two things hold true, it's kind of a home run play there with Harris. And he did average over 31 fantasy points per game against BC last season. You see in weeks 4 and 5 right here, he had 36 and 5 and 26 and 4. So it's a matchup that he had a decent amount of success. And for the most part, Winnipeg did come back looking a lot like they did last year as far as the pieces they have on offense. So like both of those guys, I mean, I lean towards Harris. Harris is the guy we give in the article. You know, $600 difference, I think, you know, we probably play Harris and hope that he repeats the success he had last year. And then kind of in this mid tier here, I actually like John White, who used to play for Edmonton. He had some really, he was basically RB1 in the CFL when he was at Edmonton, had an injury, but moved to BC this offseason. And so far, you know, Rutley's a guy, he's kind of like more of a third down back. So I think White is going to get the early down work, and they actually threw it to him a decent amount. You know, obviously, he was at Edmonton when Riley was at Edmonton when White was at Edmonton, however you want to say it. So there's some familiarity there, and he got the ball a decent amount this preseason. So he could be active in the passing game as well. So you could be looking at a kind of a workhorse back for BC with Mike Riley in a somewhat favorable matchup, a game that we have them projected to score a decent amount of points. And I think if you look at the Vegas implied total for them, they are right here, number 3, 27 points implied total. So yeah, I think John White is intriguing. And then we had one value player right here. Looking at Thomas Arlington, he was, you know, we gave out two running backs in the article, Andrew Harris and Sean Thomas Arlington. Thomas Arlington is really the I guess you could call it a punt, but I don't think he is. I think he's going to be an every down back for Hamilton. He looked that way in the preseason. And actually, if we pull up their starters versus starters preseason game here. So each of these teams basically had one preseason game where it was starters against starters. And you can see with the play-by-play here with Hamilton in a hurry that Thomas Arlington's going to be busy this season. So, you know, we have him with a run here. He ran the ball here. Let's see. Second drive, you know, he caught the ball, ran the ball, caught the ball. They get the ball back. Slowly threw an interception, so caught the ball here. Ran the ball for 24 yards here. So yeah, he's kind of involved again, caught the ball here. So he's involved early and often in the game plan when it was starters versus starters again, caught the ball, ran the ball. So I think he's going to be that'll continue heading into the Saskatchewan game. Now it's worth noting that this matchup with Saskatchewan is less than ideal. Saskatchewan, was the best run defense in the CFL last season. But that being said, I think at 4,800, the volume is there to where he's going to be a solid value play. I mean, you look at, you know, if let's just, I guess, for example, set 3X as a target for the running back position. just given that it's a CFL contest, right? So we're going to set 3X as the target. You know, let's say Arlington's got to get to 14 points to reach 3X. You know, use the same target for Harris, and he's got to get to, you know, 27 or I guess just under 27, 26 points. So he's got to go well above his average. So I think there's a better chance that Arlington hits value. You know, so, and again, that opens up the door. You know, if we, let's just, for instance, you know, play Trevor Harris, play Thomas Arlington. Let's grab a defense here, just something middle of the tier. I actually like the Tiger Cats. I mean, as far as defense, I'm not going to cover defense in this video, but I like Hamilton. I like Edmonton. Calgary's the best play. Ottawa's offense is a mess. So Calgary, Edmonton, Hamilton, you know, three teams at home, good matchups. I'm fine with any three of those. Edmonton massively upgraded their defense this offseason, and Montreal is obviously the best defense matchup based off last season's numbers. So I am going to just throw in Hamilton so we have a little more money to work with here. Okay, so moving on to receiver. I'm just going to start at the top and work my way down. I think, you know, Brian Burnham was the first guy listed in our article at receiver. I think he's going to be the go-to guy for Mike Riley in this offense. I'm not a huge Carter fan. He just has never really, I mean, you know, he's flashed a little in the CFL, but it's never really worked out. I mean, you look at his numbers from last year, you know, nothing too crazy. I think Burnham's going to be the go-to dude. I think he's going to catch a ton of passes. He could become that, you know, one of those high target, high volume CFL plays. And he's got a lot of upside. When I watched BC play last year, he was one of the few guys on that offense that really popped in game film to me. And we can kind of look at, let's see where I believe. Yeah, Jennings is here. So this is BC's quarterback last season. You're going to see, you know, 170 yards, 140, 350, 68, 105, 183. So not a lot of production out of the quarterback position in general. And, you know, Burnham still found a way to average 13 fantasy points per game for BC last season. And then moving down just one more notch below him, Greg Ellingson. We kind of already talked about this matchup for Edmonton. You know, great matchup on paper. The Montreal secondary is a mess. Their defense in general is a mess. And we're talking about a guy that moved to Edmonton from Ottawa with Trevor Harris. So great connection with his quarterback. One of the better receivers in the CFL, you know, over the past 10 years or, you know, whatever. So a proven CFL player, and just going through, you know, the same thing, play by play game tracker of the preseason. You know, when Harris and Ellingson played together, it was Ellingson, not Daniels, that looked like he was the go-to guy for Harris in this system. So, and again, you know, you're talking about a guy they paid, they signed Daniels as well, but Ellingson clearly was kind of the big name signee at receiver for them this offseason. So I do like Ellingson. And then when we look at, I think, you know, Daron Carter. In terms of BC, I think Burnham is the play, but there might be a little more upside with Carter. He's a little more of a big play guy, a little more of a red zone. I mean, Burnham's fine as a red zone target too. He's a guy that they move inside and outside. But Carter is worth a look. He didn't make our article, but it's worth mentioning, I suppose. And all right, so let's get a refresher here. All right, so we should move down to 6,700 for the next target. So this is Braylon Addison is kind of my pick for. I think he has a chance to lead the CFL in receiving yards this year. I think he's the number one sleeper in the CFL at the receiver position for Hamilton. He has a real connection with Masoli. They weren't at Oregon at the same time, but two Oregon guys. Addison's a matchup problem for CFL secondaries just with some of the rules. The fact that he can get moving before he hits the line, and he's already, you know, super quick and can change directions in a hurry. And we saw, you know, he basically played two games last year and averaged over 125 yards per game with 17 receptions in those two games. That's the sort of upside I think he has. If we go back and look at the box score from here, you know, this is about a half of work and he had 771 with a touchdown in this game against Toronto. So, I mean, I'm not saying, you know, 14 catches for 150 yards and two touchdowns or something like that, but I do think he has that upside. And again, it's a matchup with Saskatchewan that, you know, they're a little bit of a funnel defense in that they're really good against the run and they're going to make him throw. But, you know, in my opinion, Masoli is kind of 1C to Bo Levi Mitchell in Mike Riley in the CFL, and he looked really sharp this preseason. So I think Addison is a guy that, you know, given his talent, he may be a little bit matchup proof. And if he has the role, I think he will in this offense, he could be a home run at 6,700 there. And I mean, again, you can see, you know, we've kind of just gone straight down and hit our top targets at receiver here. And we still have $7,200 left over. So as I said, you shouldn't have a problem kind of piecing together these lineups however you want. Arsenal's a guy worth mentioning. Moves over to Saskatchewan in the offseason. He's a legitimate number one receiver in the CFL. He's going to be their number one receiver this year. As far as the injury goes, I don't know like when he's going to be back in the lineup for them. It sounds like it's not going to be for week one, but he's a guy worth mentioning and keeping on your radar once he does come back. And then there's a group of receivers, just to mention them, with Winnipeg. Darvin Adams is their number one, but they'll throw it to just about anybody on here. And I, you know, Lucky Whitehead, I haven't had a chance to look at what he's done in the preseason for them, but obviously he's got, you know, an NFL pedigree coming in. And then Drew Wolitarski is a guy that, they targeted heavy on and off over the last 2 years. So, but okay. Our next target, staying in right in the $6,000 range here, Jawan Briskason. So, with Calgary, they lost their top two receivers last year. If we come over and take a look at league leaders receiving in the CFL last season. So Kamar Jordan's out for the year with a knee injury. And Davaris Daniels right here obviously moved in the offseason. We already covered that. So, I mean, obviously, Briskason is not only the number three, so basically the number one returning receiver that's healthy at least, but looking at what has happened with Calgary this preseason, Bo Levi Mitchell seems to be targeting him more than anyone else. When we look at the one versus one statistics, he's the guy that has been used, I guess, the most. I didn't see Rodgers targeted a bunch, a little bit to Ambles. I'm not sure that Begelton was even playing, but Briskason, I mean, maybe it is by default, but he got a ton of targets this preseason. So, again, Ottawa's in a little bit of a rebuilding phase. They're kind of a slightly above average defense. If we can take a peek here at their team stats from last year to see where they finished. Like I said, right in the middle, 25 touchdowns, 13 interceptions, 69% completion percentage, which is obviously, actually might be dead last. So yeah, they gave up the highest completion percentage. Everything else is kind of average across the board. So, you know, average, maybe slightly above average matchup for Bo Levi Mitchell, and he's got to throw it to somebody. So I think we may see Jawan Briskason become his kind of by default number one target. And then I do have one sleeper that I wanted to mention here in case you, for some reason, need a cheap option at receiver, which may very well be the case if you know, let's say you pay up here for our number one running back, Andrew Harris. Well, now we've done it. Now we don't even have enough money to get the sleeper. Let me go ahead and plug Briskason in here to make this work. Okay, so 5,500 left. To give you a receiver, I guess, in that price range, the guy that I'm really high on is Tavon Smith from Edmonton at 3,900 here. So Tavon Smith's a guy that spent the last few seasons in the NFL He was actually one of the top CFL prospects from, I believe, 2016, something like that. But yeah, he's kind of bounced around in the NFL, I think three teams in 3 years, something like that. Back in the CFL, playing for Edmonton, he's a guy the coaching staff says they think can have 1,300 yards this season. I don't think you say that and then don't target him at all. And if they plan on using him, you know, even a little bit in this game, he's going to have a chance to make some big plays because they have talent on the outsides or wherever they, however they line up. You know, Ellingson's going to have to be accounted for. Daniels is going to have to be accounted for. And Collins Jr. and Stafford are both big play guys that defenses are going to have to kind of be aware of when they're on the field. So it's just going to create some space that if they do view Tavon Smith as that kind of go-to piece behind Ellingson, he, you know, if he has any sort of volume, any sort of volume at all, he's going to be highly productive in this offense. And again, it's a dream matchup for Edmonton for the start of Trevor Harris's career in Edmonton. So again, it's another share of that passing attack. So yeah, that sums it up. We got a couple value plays there. I don't necessarily know that you know 100% need them, but yeah, a couple value plays. CFL is back and it feels okay. It doesn't feel like the start of the NFL season, but you know, we're talking football. We're not doing DraftKings showdown things for the NBA finals. So it's a nice change of pace for sure. We're going to be doing these for at least for the first 8 weeks. We'll see what happens once the NFL season kicks up, if we can keep that up and keep up with the NFL stuff. If you're not already subscribe. We're doing player outlook videos, breaking down, you know, our predictions for every single fantasy relevant player in the NFL. We're through all the quarterbacks. We're about halfway through all the running backs. We have all of our sleepers done for the year. We're going to be starting doing best ball drafts on Draft Live every day. What else do we have going on? We'll cover the rest of the NBA finals. And you can find everything as well on our website here, hellorookie.com. Again, we'll have CFL picks are going to publish basically as soon as this video goes live. So they'll already be up by the time you're seeing this video. CFL picks every week. Stay connected. And usually there's Joe too, so that's a huge plus. He'll be back for NBA Game 6. All right. Thanks, guys.